Hello everyone, and welcome back to Family for Every Child's Conversation on Care podcast. My name is Amanda Griffith, and I'm the CEO at Family for Every Child. This podcast is a space where we can talk to practitioners about how they are providing care to vulnerable children and families around the world. At Family for Every Child, we are a growing network of currently 42 local civil society organisations working on the ground in 38 countries. And these organisations have a wealth of knowledge and experience from years of working with children and communities to develop solutions to improve children's care. Today's podcast is the first of three episodes on the topic of integration and reintegration of children on the move. Globally, an estimated 50 million children are on the move, leaving home, their communities, and sometimes their countries for work to escape violence, conflict, poverty, or discrimination. Others may be displaced and separated, or taken from families against their will for exploitation of various kinds. While children are on the move around the world for a multitude of reasons and in a wide range of contexts, their experiences tend to be characterized by a lack of care and concern for their best interests and rights by those with whom they come into contact. Promoting the effective integration and reintegration of children on the move is an urgent priority as all regions grapple with extraordinary levels of conflict, disasters, mass migration, poverty, and violence. In our latest How We Care series, we have examined how three of our members are responding to this through their programming. One of those member organisations is Metadrasi, Action for Migration and Development in Greece, in southern Europe. Since 2009, Metadrasi has worked to facilitate the reception and integration of refugees and migrants in Greece. Today, I'm accompanied by Laura Papa, who is the president and founding member at Metadrasi. Laura, welcome, and thank you very much for joining me in this conversation.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you very much for the selection of Metadrasi.
It's always a pleasure. First of all, maybe, Laura, just to give us some context, it'd be great if you could just explain a little bit more. We're all very conscious of COVID and how it's impacting differently on people's programs and in their context. So what is the situation at the moment in Greece around COVID-19 and how that's impacting on your particular work and the communities you work with?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, Greece was internationally praised for its initial response to the COVID-19 during March, April, May. Now it's not the same situation. Northern Greece, mainly Northern Greece, has been hit extremely hard by COVID, and we are counting hundreds of positive cases daily. So concerning the population, generally refugees, migrants and children are blocked on these camps on the islands and in the mainland. And of course, it's not the same for them because they don't have a house to stay safe. So in these camps, there is huge population. I mean, it's all the time overcrowded, sometimes five times more than what the camp can contain, let's say, as people. So it's a bit, I would say, very difficult from February, March 2020 until now. That these people are struggling to get informed, to find somehow a way to protect themselves. It's a struggle. I mean, it's many months now that everybody's trying to find some kind of solution.
And Laura, for the listeners, just a little bit more, as you speak about the refugee populations being in camps and things, what is the actual situation for the population in Greece at the moment in terms of refugees and migrants?
Well, you know, there is a Greece is the border of Europe. It's the external border of Europe, and as we know, it's the main entry point in European Union, let's say, in the European continent. So we always, for many years, we have arrivals, especially on the Greek islands. So from 2015 until now, we are always in this emergency mode, I would say. And it's not a question of numbers. It's a question of organization. And I would say many times that we receive some criticism from other EU countries. They're saying, the Greek cannot manage. But they don't realize that this population, as long as they are in Greece, they are all the times on the move. So until they decide, it takes maybe sometimes 1, 2, 3 years to decide, are they going to stay in Greece or are they going to leave? So for sure, the integration is a very important point that we have to develop more in Greece. But we have to understand that Greece is a small country. They're overstretched from economical crisis from 2010. So all structures are overstretched with this with migrants flow and refugees, hospitals, schools, even to get a number, you know, to work. It's hell in Greece to find the way how to get your permit, the work permit. So we have also a change of government from July 2019, which wanted to change everything again. So we still are trying to cope with what is the framework for people to be integrated in this country. Maybe next year would be better, more clear, all the kinds of papers they need, the new papers they need, and the procedures. To try to integrate. There are not enough projects for integration, generally, not only for children. Children is something else we can discuss later. So it's a very difficult situation also for NGOs to cope with COVID-19. I would say that we are very proud as Metadresi because we didn't stop any of our activity. And I would say that I would like to mention education on the islands for these children, all children living in these horrible camps on the islands, the hotspots, that we manage. They don't have internet. They were not allowed to go out of the camp. So we still manage with primitive ways to distribute material, educational material. And there was a huge line, I'm sharing with you, a huge line of kids waiting from somebody to give them something to continue their education. So even the first lockdown, but now also the second one, we try to help, even if they stay in these camps, to continue their education with very primitive ways. And it's working. It's working.
The population of children are mainly from where? Where did they originally start their journeys from?
The population in Greece is mainly from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Africa. But the biggest, I would say the 50% is Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, the three main nationalities arriving in Greece. So we can see what is the situation in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And they're arriving, they pass from Turkey mainly, and they pass through the sea or from the land border, which is in the north, to Greece, mm-hmm. to the European Union. So I would say that 60% of the population, this is something that people should know generally, is women and children. So many times we have this image of a single man who's coming in Europe to work. It's a wrong, it's a fake news, let's say, if I can say. No, the reality is that 60% is women and children.
Escaping conflict, basically.
Escape conflict, persecution, even poverty. Okay, we say poverty is migrants, but now we have to think more wireless. I mean, we have climate change. This kind of climate refugees, we have to do something also about that issue. Are there migrants? Are there refugees? This is something we don't want to see. the rich countries, they don't want to talk about it, but it's true. I mean, we have Geneva Convention talking about protecting refugees with specific reasons, the fear of life, but fear of life is also when you have nothing because of natural disaster and your life is in danger. it's something that there is a need of a discussion there. Do we need to, as planet, as human beings, to protect all these people that are taking they have the consequence of climate change?
Exactly, which is now going to grow and grow. So this is something that we all have to engage in as an increasingly urgent problem. Can you explain, Laura, a little bit more about how Metadrassi actually specifically now works with mainly unaccompanied minors? If we can look at that, your piece of work around unaccompanied minors, that'd be great.
Well, as you know, I am in this field for 25 years. Metadrassi is only it's a lot, 10 years. So there are many, many times I see these minors and children coming without parents. This is unaccompanied minors, let's say. This is the target group. And generally, I feel so many years that it's so pity, you know, that we have these young people in our in a European soil and we don't do enough. And it's so important that from the first day they arrive, we start taking over, protecting them, and show them a future. They have a future. They should have a future. The soon as possible. This is the best way. The soon as possible. Unfortunately, more and more, especially from 2015, that thousands of unaccompanied minors passed from Greece. And after 2016, with the agreement, the EU-Turkey agreement, but many people were blocked on the islands, on these horrible hotspots. So we had kids for 2 years in these camps, and even if they escape from rape, from labor work, slavery, I mean labor work, or in their travel, until they arrive in Greece, sometimes we should not be proud as European Union. They pass all these horrible things in a camp, let's say, in European soil, in an island in Greece, or in a camp in the mainland. They are raped, or they cannot sleep. They are all the time afraid. Traumatic experiences that everybody has to work after on that to try to help these kids. So I would say Greece, at the beginning of 2020, we reached a number of 6,000 unaccompanied minors. It's a very big number. When you think that we have places, appropriate places for these minors, even not 2,000. So the big question is, what about these 4,000 kids? That is one number we have to keep. And that's why Greece always asks for solidarity. The second point is that we realize through our activity, and we published for the first time 2 years ago, a very important number, that 40% of these kids are reunification cases. That means that they have a mother, a father, an uncle to another country of the European Union, and through Dublin regulation, they should be reunified very quickly, we say. But unfortunately, sometimes they wait 2 years to be reunified, and that's a huge problem for us. So what Metadrassi is doing I really decided to make the big step in the empty space and try to start some pioneer activities. Not only, I believe, in national level in Greece, but also they're a pioneer in a European level. So one of the first activities we start with escorting, taking all these kids from the horrible situation they are, even in prison, this protective custody, we say, because there's not enough places. We have to think that always 500 to 600, we reach even 1,000 kids to be in detention places. Why? Because there are not enough shelters in Greece, not enough places in shelters. So we started escorting these kids, because also this was a huge problem for 20 years, that nobody was accepting to take these kids from a camp and to escort them to a safe place, I mean, an accommodation, a shelter. So this was started in 2010. Until now, we escort more than 16,000 kids. It's a great help for all these kids to take them out as soon as possible from this situation. The second, and then we will lead to start guardianship. This is something also very innovative. So we realize that these kids need somebody from the first moment, I mean, from the even from the boat, they come out. They have to have somebody next to them to protect them and to ensure there is access to all services. Then, I mean, all these activities are pioneering in Greece, I would say. The third one, we said we have many young, many children also. So why not to not start to foster these kids to Greek families mainly? And that's quite a unique example. 90% of our foster care program is Greek families, which is quite unique comparing to other countries. That is maybe second generation, third generation. And if you ask him what is the best, you know, place to place this kids are always, I would say, families. Not only for small, but also 15, 16, 17. Sometimes we think, okay, 16, you know, that, no. There are many of these kids, they never leave really the childhood. They were never children. They are in great need to have a family. So after guardianship and foster care, we start this semi-independent living for minors that they become 16 to 18. And now we are in this phase because there are many, many homeless in Athens, in big towns, to start the first dormitory for unaccompanied minors. That's something very innovative. I don't know if in other countries that exists, a dormitory for children, but we will start it. I hope this month we finally will open the doors for this dormitory so these kids have a possibility to sleep somewhere during night. So they face so many dangers from the camp, in other camps that they are transferred in the mainland also. Sometimes they are not just transferred to other camps because there is no place in the camps on the islands. And then many, they're ending homeless with smuggling, all the time smuggling. And all the time they have bad advices from smugglers. They are exploited on the streets. There are sexual abuse. Sometimes they need money, so they have to sell drugs. And many times I think that all these, strategy, some kind of strategy to avoid to not let these kids or refugees coming to Europe, it will turn against us. Because these kids will stay. I mean, 90% of these kids will stay in Europe. Maybe they will not stay in Greece. So we're pushing these kids on the hands of smugglers and traffickers. And that is criminal, what we're doing.
Well, and as you describe, Laura, I mean, these children have already gone through significant journeys that on their own, being extremely exposed throughout that journey, to then arrive where they thought was going to be the place of safety, to then experience additional trauma, abuse. That's what's so extraordinary, is that we haven't provided a sense that you've arrived, let's welcome you, let's protect you, let's enhance your potential to, as you say, return to your childhood and then grow up and transition into adulthood. That seems to be what's failing in the things, but which you, as Meta Drassi, have really tried to address. Would you like to talk a little bit about sort of maybe the integration program for these young people, how you're doing that? And interestingly, as you say, enabling them to become part of a very different culture and a very different life experience from what they've had, because their life experience has been one of being in conflict or being in extreme poverty, then an extremely challenging journey to then be integrated into a culture and a family context. Can you tell me how you manage that transition for children and enable them to flourish in that new setting?
I will start that with 2 points. I think the first point is that there is a key word with these kids, is the word trust. Everything starts with trust. If you don't and it's not easy to get the trust because they are already from all this journey, as you said, they don't trust adults. So they have sometimes, I have the feeling, and I cannot prove this, that they have some kind of seventh sense. They understand very quickly First, if the person in front of them is really interesting to help them, or is just doing his work, you know, and he has to say this and that and that, and that's finished. It's amazing, I think, the how they get this sense to understand very quickly if the person is really interested on them. And they will test you. They will test to see if you are really interested and you are going to get on that and continue to support. So first is trust. The second thing is that they are in a huge need to see a future. They arrive in Europe and still in their mind, many times we hear, I will go to Germany, I will go to here, I will go to there. They don't know what is Germany. They don't know nothing. What is the life in Germany? What is the culture? So we see slowly many kids, and that's a challenge, that finally, even if they have a very far uncle that they don't know, but they say, yes, I know I have an uncle there, because somebody told them. So it's so important to get all the wrong information from their head, from smugglers, from friends, all this kind of information, and try to get them to the reality. So one thing that first is education, to learn the language, to go to school. Then to, of course, before of that, we have to somehow ensure a safe place. You cannot work with a kid in an unsafe place. That we face all the time. You know, we have our guardians in the rain, in mud. I mean, they have to work with kids. Even sometimes we don't have a space to talk with these kids. So first is to find a safe place and then start integrating them, get them to school. Just to understand how important it is to learn the Greek language. And of course, to have always a referral to a guardian or to a mentor, to somebody that they respect. They are in a great need to have a model to follow, how can I say, an example to follow. Because they don't have their mother, their father, or their grandfather. I think this is a huge need for these kids need to cover. To have somebody that they respect and they will hear. So integration, it takes time. It takes time. It takes time to take out all these kind of ideas out of their head. And I would say, that, because I think we're going to talk about the semi-dependent living, we are saying that it's not a good example to create shelters and to go on in big towns. These kids need small towns. They are used on that, to come out and to say good morning, that people around the neighborhoods, they say good morning. Big towns is the worst thing for these kids. And that's why we start semi-independent living for 16, 18. We started in Athens, but we stopped. We said, no, not anymore in Athens. Now we go to small towns, we try, and especially towns that they didn't have any contacts with refugee camps near to them. And that's why many times we have a problem to find funding, because a big international organization, they say, we don't have office there. There is no camp. But this is the way. We have to go to a society, a small society, that many times we see that societies that they never got in contact with what is a refugee, they are more extreme right than the others that they are. They have big camps next to their town. Because they see, yes, finally, it's not the end of the world, you know, to have a come next. And there are many benefits, and they are not, as we have sometimes the idea, all these youngsters, that they will rape our daughters. It's completely wrong. So we have a very good example. In a small town, we start the we started a semi-independent living, an apartment with four youngsters. We start with two. And now it's a very an example of that we saw. We tried to make a film. A boy that now he's 18. I mean, he was so well integrated. Everybody was talking the best words. I mean, the school, he's doing bicycle. He's going to competition. We see it's a very good practice to create small activities in small societies with these youngsters to place them there and not in big towns. So I'm not sure I answered your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a really useful insight too, yes. As you say, is that enabling children to become part of a community. So it's not just the child being supported or the family environment, but the community environment all of those have to be in place to enable the child to recover from what has been a traumatic and disturbing experience, to start to settle into childhood and adulthood. So that's really interesting reflections. In terms of sort of how you feel that sort of there is, are there structural changes that you feel that need to happen as well? What's the situation both in Greece and in Europe? Because the responses you talked about are very specific to what we can do for the individuals, but I know that you're also passionate about the structural changes that need to happen, the bigger systems change that needs to happen. So could you talk to me a bit more about that, about both what changes you feel need to happen, not just in Greece, but in Europe generally, so that we transition our way of thinking and responding to these children?
Well, I would start with that I see a lot of overlapping in the European Union. For example, we have to, a kid is also traumatic for a kid, even in the same country. It passed from borders. They have to take a social intake, and then they go to the mainland, and then again social intake. Where are you? Where are you from? Why you came in Greece? Where are your parents, et cetera, et cetera. So after maybe lives illegally, goes to another country, starts from zero. So somehow we have to reinforce the cooperation of actors who are dealing with these kids and exchange information. And overlapping also with big amounts, there are funds all the time, and from the States and from European Union, to create shelters. So what I know, it's many shelters are empty in other EU member states. And on one hand, I see so many shelters empty in other EU member states. And on the other hand, in Greece, these kids homeless or on the islands, or this horrible situation for many months. So it's a question, you know, it's a logical question. Why we don't try to move these kids, even temporarily, even until the answer from the state for unification is coming out, that sometimes they take 1 year, 2 years, so that this kid could be transferred to another country. I know it's a very revolutionary idea, but it's a simple thing when you think you have, let's say in the Netherlands or in Sweden, you have empty shelters on one hand, and on the other hand, we have kids on the islands. Why not to transfer them in Sweden temporarily until all their cases resolve, and then they can travel to Germany to be reunified or whatever. So the safe space, we have to find safe space the soonest possible for these kids arriving in the European Union and not let them in this situation. So the relocation program was very interesting. Started in May for the first time, when we reached 6,000 unaccompanied minors, and until now 400 they left for other EU countries, mainly Germany, France, Portugal, Finland, but still it's going quite slow. The target is 1,600. But it's going very slow. And, you know, we cannot leave these kids waiting. They lose their hope. Many of them, sometimes we don't find them anymore. They left with a smuggler because they lost trust. They lost trust in Europe. I mean, in Europe, let's say. We said, yes, you are going to be relocated eventually. Wait. They say, you know, it's another time. They promise me things and nothing happens. I think this kind of mechanism should go faster. We have to find the way to go faster. And relocation that happens this year proves that when there is a political will, things can happen very, very quickly. I mean, we saw Germany, they take 50 kids in 1 month or two. When I see other year, I mean, from 2015 until 2019, relocation was taking sometimes 1 year and a half. So this can happen. Yes, we can go faster. And then I think that there is a huge need for information of these kids in first countries, not only in Greece, but also in Italy, when they are to be reunified or relocated, to know what is the situation in this country, in Germany, what is the culture, where they will go, what are next steps. This is a huge gap. Still now with relocation, as guardianship, we are very involved in this procedure, or with EASO and UNHCR and the ministry, and we are always complaining that these countries, it's in their benefits to send us information so we can inform this kid as guardian. What are the next steps? How is life in Germany or wherever it's going, in France or in Finland? How is life? How you can cope with that? What can happen to you? And many kids, you know, it's funny, they arrive one step before they take the plane, and that's something that it's interesting also. And they say, no, I want to stay in Greece, finally. So that is a success for us, because that means that we manage to take all these ideas in their head, you know, that it's better in another country, that, whatever. And they say, you know, I start loving this, I love this country. Now start, you know, I have friends, I speak Greek, and I see future. So I want to stay here. And that's we're very happy when we hear that also. Kids that maybe they have some kind of uncle, you know, far uncle or something in another country, or they are, they have the opportunity to be relocated. One thing just to say, I know it's more feeling and experience of 25 years. What I see is when we trust, because they have to trust us, but we have to trust them also. And, you know, you see the logo of Metada. See, you have a small person there between Meta and Drasi. Drasi means action. This man, like a cartoon it is, and everybody says to us that really your logo, it's not in the framework of companies, what we should do. Really, we done it, you know, like this. He jumps from when he arrives in a country and all these problems. It is not what he was expecting. That it's a safe place, that whatever. So what they're going to do? So if they don't help themselves first to stand up and make the step to action, whatever we do, we can never succeed. Mm-hmm. So this is the first thing. We're not there to help all the time. No, they have to stand on their feet. So many times, even myself, I'm quite strict with these kids because they come. I'm the last thing. When they do something, you're going to see this papa. So I'm saying, you know what? It's your decision. It's not me who's going to decide. You have to decide. You know, you have these choices. So it's very important to show them what is the reality, and that they have a lot. They have the power to do the things, to change the things. And this year, you know, it's the third year now. I mean, yes, third, if we can say, of semi-dependent living. We have so many examples that the kids are standing on their feet. One thing is that we start employing them in Metadrasi. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I say, you know what, this boy that you employ there to help in our activity for unaccompanied minors, maybe we are going to move this boy to this activity. And when I hear the staff of Metadrasi saying, no, Miss Papa, he's doing a great work. If we lose this kid, I mean, it will be a huge gap. I'm very proud. I say, bravo, the kid, you know, they learn from that. So other NGOs also, they should give the opportunity to these kids for 1, 2, 3 hours, even 8 hours, you know, to go, to start working, to have this experience. Because in our times with COVID and generally, it's very difficult to find a proper job to these kids. So they have to survive. So, huge challenge is plus 18 in Greece. I mean, once they get 19, let's say, or they are 18 plus, as we say, it is no possibility what we're going to do. I mean, there is no place to shelter them, to take them out from the apartments. So, as Metada said, they will never, of course, throw a minor who gets adult on the street. But this is happening sometimes in other projects, what I hear, and this no. So now we are in this phase. We find somebody who gave us a building. So the kids that are going to school, there are some criteria. You know, they go to school, they follow the studies, they learn Greek, and we placed 30, 18 plus to shelters that we are, with our own resources, try to support. But it's a huge gap for these kids, really. You cannot get adult from one day to the other. That's for sure.
Exactly. And no child in a family would make that massive transition. They'd always have the support of a family behind them, and that's what's so crucial.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. This has been a fascinating discussion. And I think, importantly, what I take away from this is this changing the mindset, as you say, the perception that an unaccompanied child is not a criminal, which seems to be the initial reaction. Not only are they a child, but they're a child with agency, resilience, and strength, who, given the right environment, has the potential to be to grow up to be a real contributor to society and the economy. And I think every economy really knows that they thrive because of migrants who arrive and really establish themselves and make it an economy. And every economist will say migration actually stimulates a society. And so it's that mindset change we need to take from, rather than seeing this as a burden, but instead seeing this as an opportunity for the country itself to encourage these children to come, to grow, and to become citizens within that, within their new countries.
I would like just to tell you one example. Maybe you put it this example, is that the first boy who went in our new activity, I mean the semi-dependent living, from Africa, today, I mean that was in 2018, we managed to register this kid to the Lycée Français, I mean the school for France, because he was speaking French. He finished, he couldn't believe, I mean, he take a mention, which means it was not just basic. All professors helped him and everything. So this boy today, he's studying in France, and we are trying to support his studies. He's in the second year. But to say that he always, when we talk, you know, he says, you know what, I hear what is happening in Greece. I would like to come back, you know, to help Greek people. I want to give back to this country. And that is the mind. We don't, I mean, if we give not a lot, I mean, the norm, for me, it's natural what we're doing. we just trust, you just support these kids, they will give 10 times more back to the society. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced of that. Mm-hmm. But if we don't accept them, even with a look, you know, walking on the street, sometimes we say, oh, they look us like this, they, you know, this look that they are not accepted, and they understand because this sense they have, it's terrible. So they will turn to the opposite. And then we say, oh, these kids, what they are doing. But why they are doing all that? Maybe it's our fault because we don't accept them. No, but for this kid, I'm very proud. Believe me, I'm very proud. All of the time I'm saying that this kid is part of our future in Europe.
It's really good, as always, an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Laura. And you've given us immense insights. So absolutely fantastic interview.
I would really like to thank you. I see the video you done for us for sale. It's great. It's great. I was so excited. But more and more, I appreciate our participation. We get also, I mean, I think we can, in the future also, I see. And I always say to staff from Metades, you know, you are in contact, you really, I want you to be closed, you know, with this, with you. I mean, to be close, to understand, to go on. Because you are willing to help us this time, you know, we're not just in a network. And I would like to thank you, you know, really.
We are as strong as our members, Laura. So, and you have been a fantastic member. We really, really appreciate it. Lovely to see you again.